This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, the authors, the others. And we hope to put a smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, when can you, if ever, start paying your bills and doing your banking online without worrying about your data being stolen? Admit it, you only watch certain sports because there's a good chance somebody might get hurt. And say goodbye to robocalls forever. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is here.
Hey, Phil, have you filed your taxes yet? Well, hope someone doesn't beat you to your refund.
Uh-oh. Jay Campidonio is here, too.
Phil, you're going to want to hear a story about a breakup via text message, and that's not even the best part.
And Chris Martin is with us.
Is there proof that Jesus had a wife?
You sure you want to go there?
Yes, I do.
All right, that and more all coming up on As We See It. All right, let's get started. Do you ever wonder how much money the IRS is paying out in tax refunds to people who stole identities? Jen, you have a pretty good idea, don't you?
Yeah, $4 billion.
How much? What?
$4 billion. Can you believe it?
And this is from paid out to identity thieves. I'm mind-boggled by this.
Speechless.
Paid out to identity thieves?
Yeah, this story just came out today, and it is mind-boggling. The IRS issued $4 billion in fraudulent tax refunds. This was last year to criminals who were using other people's personal information. So what they do is they get the information to file fake returns, then they pocket refund checks. Even if you're not getting a refund, they can file on your behalf and, you know, phony up the return, get you in trouble, and run off with the money.
Just doesn't seem fair, but what
I know
it does seem like, I don't know, bureaucracy at work here, that they would just as soon not bother, get the checks out there, because that's what they do. Plug the hole, get the check out, you've done your job, move on to the next return.
Right, but you know, this is a crime that's being made a lot easier because of e-filing. You know, people can mass produce fraudulent returns. All you need is just a few identities, is grab someone's social security number and an internet connection. Couple examples. There was a big sweep in South Florida, which, by the way, is a hub for refund fraud. Federal prosecutors last week announced charges against 25 people. $36 million in just that one sweep in fraudulent tax refunds. There was one case where a middle school food services worker was stealing students' personal information from an electronic database.
Middle school students.
Yeah, in middle school. I mean, a lot of kids already, you know, they have their social security numbers and they've got all their personal information. They can phony up
but
tax returns.
Yeah, they're not filing tax returns. So okay,
yeah, it
I
doesn't
get
even
it.
Matter. So they won't even get in trouble. In another one, there's a jail guard alleging to have stolen the identities of inmates, used that data to file some false refunds. A mail carrier accused of stealing tax documents out of people's mailboxes.
I don't mean to imply that anybody listening right now is looking for a way to commit a crime, but you're giving way too many examples of how this can be done, Jen.
I know.
All right, so
it's bad.
Let's move on to your next story. We keep hearing about diseases making a comeback, you know, the type of diseases that we found cures for, and babies are getting shots for so that they never catch these dreaded diseases. What's on the rise now?
Well, you know, here's something to think about. If you're strongly in the court against vaccination of your kids, which a lot of people are, the anti-vax movement is allowing for a lot of these diseases to come back. And so is a turmoil. The longest time we thought polio was eradicated, but it's making a comeback across the Middle East because, let's face it, they just don't have time to get their shots. You know, they're having wars going on over there. 18 kids have been paralyzed by polio in Syria and across parts of Iraq. Medical teams in white gloves and coats, again, roaming the streets, are giving kids polio vaccines and marking the walls of their homes as they do it. So it's like a modern day Passover rite almost. You know, polio is coming back, you guys.
Oh, boy. I do not like to hear that. All right.
No, we don't like to hear that at all.
Okay, something lighter here, I hope. There's something in a New Mexico landfill worth finding. What is it?
It's the worst video game ever made by Atari. It's set to get underway this month, a search for this rumored stash of discarded E.T. games. millions of them, the cartridges. They dumped them in this landfill in 1983, and this game is almost it's been credited for the downfall of Atari because it was such a dud.
And
yes.
So they wanted to bury these and get rid of them, and they're
yes.
somewhere hundreds of feet beneath the trash. Jay,
exactly.
would you dig for this? Because they sound like they might be worth some money, even though they're probably unplayable.
That's exactly it, Phil. They are worth tons of dough because so many were destroyed and so many people hated it. They've now become cool again, and you'll see them every once in a while. I saw one on Antique Roadshow, went for nearly like 30 grand.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was probably 30 bucks when it was first
If
first
that.
Sold.
Back yeah. then, it was Atari, more like 15 bucks.
Oh.
Well,
right.
what if, I mean, if they find like a gazillion of these things, you know?
Well, then the value then would obviously drop, yes.
It'll decline. But the city there in New Mexico, they say, oh, we're going to get the rights to any of the games that they find because, you know, it's on our property in the landfill.
Like mineral rights?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. Gosh, but, you know, there's going to be a documentary about the project to dig all this stuff up. It's almost archaeological. It's only been 1983, but it seems so long ago.
Yeah.
The excavation is going to be open to public viewing.
I want to get in there and dig. I'll get on my hands and yeah. knees and with a spoon and a
You'll
fork.
You'll get dirty, Phil.
Yes, I will. For this.
Just down and dirty in the landfill.
All right. Okay. And Jen, one more story for you. There's a benefit to going to jail in Uruguay. What's that?
Oh, there sure is. There really is. Okay. So I don't know if you know this, but about 4 months ago, Uruguay became the first nation to okay marijuana for recreational use. The whole country, it's like, you know, go for it. It's about $1 a gram over there. And if you're in jail, prisoners are going to be able to use medical marijuana. If the doctor says it'll benefit their health, you can get, you know, as high as a kite in jail. So I think a lot of people will be pleading glaucoma and going away. You know?
That $1 a gram thing went right over my head. I don't even know what that means. That's cheap. Okay.
No, it's cheap.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, ask Jay. He should know.
Oh, good one, Jen. Sing. Look how funny you are when you're not sitting next to me. That's nice.
I know, because you can't punch me.
Right.
Or shoot daggers out of your eyes.
There we go. We just pulled the curtain back on Jen. You are more or less on assignment for NBC today, and we thank you for checking in via this connection. We'll have you on the program throughout the hour. And Jay, all right, since we've implicated you in this whole process of conversation and news, you actually have a story, and you piqued my interest in the headline at the beginning of the program about this text message breakup. All right, I already know about that. There's something better in this story?
There really is. So a couple in a relationship for about 14 months decides, hey, let's get married. Man proposes $53,000 engagement ring.
What's that, a couple of carats?
I have no idea. Story doesn't say. But all I know is more than I can afford.
That's an expensive ring.
That's a rock, right?
Yeah.
So evidently the woman didn't want to sign a prenup. Wouldn't sign it. If we're going to get married, you and I are going to love each other. No prenup, right?
The man wanted it.
The man always wants the prenup. So what happens is he sent her a text message and says, okay, things are over. A text message. Things are over. By the way, you can keep the ring, whatever. So she gets upset. I can't believe you're doing this over text message. I can't believe that you're ending this relationship over a text message. He writes back, keep it up, and I'll take that ring back as well.
Uh-oh.
She takes him to court.
Yeah.
So she can keep. Judge rules with the woman. The woman now has a $53,000 engagement ring, but no engagement.
I think you keep the ring.
As the man or the woman?
As the when you give a gift, you can't take a gift back.
That's 50 grand, Phil.
Yes, but you take a gift back. What is that? That is stealing, is it not? You're taking somebody else's property. Once you give somebody a gift, it belongs to that person.
I don't know.
Whether it's for a promise or not, isn't that gift a promise towards something in the future?
Like a junior high school promise ring, Chris? I don't know.
Those still work these days, by the way.
No, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do.
Really?
I'm just saying, if you give somebody a $50,000 anything,
yes,
and they decide not to kind of comply with the demands that go with the $50,000
gift.
Hey, a prenup is a demand.
Now you're sounding misogynist.
I'm just saying, look, hey, you want the benefits of the relationship, you got to kind of go with what the territory.
All right. I think you get the ring. You get to keep the ring. We'll agree to disagree on this one.
I agree with that.
I agree with you too, Phil. You shouldn't give something and then take it back.
All right. Just don't buy $53,000 worth of something.
How's that for an idea? Here's a Cracker Jack box. There you go.
All right, Jay, thanks. And Chris, we're going to take a quick break, but I do want to know about the story that you've dug up here, that it's right out of Da Vinci Code, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I look forward to sharing it with you.
All right. It's coming up next, as well as our tech guy will check in and tell you what you need to do to be protected against this heart bleed bug that has swept the internet, and it's been there forever, but we only just found out about it. I bet the hackers knew a long time before you did. And that's next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends right here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. We love your comments at feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends. And thanks for tuning in to KFWB News Talk 980. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jay is here. Chris is here. Jan is here. As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, the new program here on the radio station. And we're going to hear from Chris's new proof, the researchers say. It has to do with Jesus Christ, and, I'm going to leave it right there for now, Chris, because that's coming up, right?
Sure is.
Okay. That's why I gave out the feedback email address, just so that you're ready on the trigger. But see, we're all worried right now about the heart bleed bug, it's been around for a couple of years, but it's only coming to light this week. So what can you do to protect your personal data? What are your banks and credit cards and utilities doing to shore up their security? Our tech guy is here to help you out with it. And hello, Jeremy Anticuni.
Hey, Phil. So I wish I had a magic bullet for you guys, because there's really not a whole lot that people can do right now. And that's the scariest part about this bug. So just to give a brief overview of this, Heartbleed is essentially a flaw in what's called OpenSSL. Now, SSL is what you use whenever you're visiting your bank's website or you're logging into your email. Anytime that you've got that encrypted session, your browser tells you, hey, this is a secure session. The problem is that the bug is in the server side. So in the bank's website or in the shopping cart website, in the back end, there's a bug that essentially makes it so that anyone could exploit the data that is being communicated here. So passwords, personal data, social security numbers, anything that we thought was being encrypted and going back and forth between your computer and some site on the internet, which should have been secure, was potentially able to be exposed by anyone. And one of the scariest parts about this is that it was pretty much undetectable. So it's not like you leave footprints when an attacker does this. In many other cases, there's remnants and evidence left behind when there's an attack. This one was completely silent, and there was just nothing left behind.
Remind us how it came to light, Jeremy. How did we find out about it?
Well, it was discovered earlier this week, and of course, the OpenSSL is an open source project, so that the code behind it is available for anybody to look at and contribute to. And so somebody obviously was looking through the code and discovered this vulnerability. And if we get technical about it, the way that this happens is there's a heartbeat that takes place, or a handshake between your computer and the server. And what happens is the bug did not check to see if you were sending or requesting the right amount of data back. And so it was supposed to only send a certain amount of data, but you could tell it, oh, give me lots of data, and it would just dump whatever was in its memory and send it back to whoever made the request.
All right. So you said that you don't have a magic pill for us, the user. So the onus obviously is on the websites to clear all of this up. Do they know what they're doing to that in that respect?
If you're dealing with somebody who doesn't know how to fix this, switch to somebody who does. All of the major websites have already updated. I did see a list showing that most of the U.S.-based banks were not affected by this bug, so they weren't using the library that had this problem. But what you want to make sure that you're doing is when your providers have fixed this problem, have updated, change your passwords at that point. Don't change them until you know that the problem has been fixed, because you may just be feeding that password right back into the open.
And hopefully they put some kind of notice on their homepage so that you know that. Let me ask you this. If a hacker exploited this, what could he grab?
Pretty much anything, and that's the scary part. Not only could they grab credit card numbers, passwords, the even scarier part is that they could actually get the certificate, the actual private keys, which enable a website to say they are Amazon.com and make it appear as though it's a secure connection. They could grab that certificate and put up a site that then appears to the rest of the world as if it was Amazon. So that's the kind of scary part. And they have actually seen that there are in some logs instances where there were instances of this actually being exploited and being taken advantage of. So it is actually being exploited and certainly is a scary bug.
Right. And so if it's been around for 2 years, you would imagine that this was something the hackers who figured it out, they probably wouldn't want to bring a lot of attention to it. So it's remarkable to me that we haven't known about it publicly for so long.
Perhaps the NSA was taking advantage of it.
Oh, come on. I hope not. Well, maybe they were. but if you fell victim to this sort of thing, let's say your computer data was open season for the hackers because of these sessions that were wide open. Would you even know? Would there be any record on your computer somewhere to indicate that people were in there fiddling around with your stuff?
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be on your computer, but any of the services or sites that you access, if for example, your Gmail account was compromised, there would be records that your password was probably changed, or if they were, being stealthy about it, maybe they didn't leave the password, they didn't change the password, left it alone so that you didn't know that it had been changed. You can, in some services, see where your accounts have been logged in from, and Google is a great example of that. Down at the bottom of the screen, you'll see that it'll show an IP address, and it'll say you were last logged in from this address. And so you can actually take a look at those that history of access and see where your account has been accessed. So if you do look in there and you see some rather strange entries, you may want to consider changing your password or taking advantage of some two-factor authentication, which is also an important point here. Many services now offer what's called two-factor authentication. And so what that does is it gives you an additional layer of security on your account. So you have your password, and then when you log in, it actually will send a text message to your phone and say, hey, here's an access code, and it'll allow you to actually log in that way. So just having your password wouldn't be enough to exploit your account.
Interesting. Jeremy J. has a question for you.
Hey, Jeremy, a lot of people go online and they play video games or like through an Xbox or through a PlayStation. Do we know if this thing has affected any of those systems?
Yeah, so it definitely has. So anything that uses SSL and the open SSL implementation was potentially affected by this bug. So Steam, which is one of the online gaming communities, was affected by it. I think that they've already patched it. So anything, it doesn't necessarily have to be a website, but anything that was using SSL to protect usernames and passwords or transactions was potentially exploited by this particular bug.
Wow. Scary stuff, but it looks like we're going to get over it with unscathed. At least I hope that's the case. Jeremy Antoconi, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week on Tech Tuesday, Thursday. We're going to start
Thursday.
Making Thursday's Tech Day with Jeremy every week,
sounds
right?
Great.
All right, fantastic. Talk to you then.
Smart guy.
Yeah, he knows his stuff, that's for sure. And that's why he's on this program, right? And you don't hear this program anywhere else but on KFWB. Hey, Chris, you have a story that's right out of Da Vinci Code, and all those people, they have their email dialogue opened right now at feedback at Phil Hewlett and Friends, ready to comment on this, so go ahead. At your own peril, my friend.
Phil and all our friends out there, there's a study that was released from Harvard today, actually, that states that there is no evidence of forgery in the review of an ancient text which mentions Jesus's wife.
An ancient text.
An ancient text. It's actually a piece of an ancient text. It's a very small piece. They wish they had more, but it for sure mentions Jesus's wife.
Is it a third-party reference, or is it like a love note or
something? It's a third-party reference, yes, okay, of the life of Jesus.
A love note?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
You guys may remember this story from about 18 months ago. That's when this text originally came out. Well, Harvard has spent all this time doing the carbon dating of the text itself and found that it dates back to the 8th century in Egypt, therefore would make it a potentially accurate script of that date and time.
All right. So what do you think? I mean, that was what the Da Vinci Code was all about, right?
In essence.
I think the guys at Harvard got it wrong, but I'm just saying.
Well, I think a lot of people, based on faith, are going to agree with you.
Yeah, and there's no way to know for sure, but it just opens some potentially different outcomes of the past.
All right,
no, good. You need Jesus.
Now. All right, I'm gonna ask you to be totally honest with yourself. Would you watch football or auto racing or downhill skiing if you didn't know somewhere in the back of your mind there was a strong chance somebody was potentially going to get hurt? Perhaps seriously. Why We Love Violent Sports, coming up next, right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, only on KFWB News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in to KFWB News Talk 980 for As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. And what do you think? Do you watch NASCAR races to see the crashes? Or maybe you don't. You know, you like to see the race and see who wins and all of that. But is that why you watch? Be honest with yourself now. Why is there so much interest in slope-style snowboarding, for instance, at this year's Olympics? Remember that? Is it because the sport is so obviously dangerous? Do people go to bullfights around the world to see the bullfighters gored or trampled by the bulls? How about the NFL? There is a big element of danger. You know you love the TV replays of the most vicious hits. In fact, the NFL puts those together every time, every week. They've got the biggest hits of the week. And you see those on SportsCenter, the whole thing. Same thing with hockey. They show the biggest hits every week.
Or the best fights, Phil.
Exactly. So are you and everybody else really drawn to the notion that you will be witnessing some form of mayhem? What is it about us? Hal Markovitz has been a journalist and the author for more than 30 years, as a matter of fact. And most recently, he served as the editor for a book titled Olay, Capturing the Passion of Bullfighters and Aficionados in the 21st Century. And he joins us now. Hal, you know what? I want to start with bullfighting. Because in some places they're starting to ban it, but you have a particular interest in it. How did all of that come about?
Well, I first discovered the bullfights about 10 years ago after reading Death in the Afternoon by Ernest Hemingway, and I was just completely fascinated by it, and I wanted to learn more. So, you know, I started out reading everything I could, and eventually I went to Spain. And I took a class in it, and I actually fought what they call vacas, which are kind of small bulls, okay, and not really the type that can kill you, but they can knock you down and bump you around a bit.
Were you in an arena where people were actually cheering for you to get gored?
Not quite. It was a practice arena, a practice ring. And there were a lot of what we call practicos, which are students. And we were all taking the class, and we were all rooting for each other rather than for the bulls.
You know what? Every year they have the running of the bulls in Pamplona. And we always listen to see what the number of injuries is each day with the guys that are out there in the white shirts and the bandanas, and they're trying not to get gored or trampled. And it almost seems like the story isn't as interesting if nobody got hurt. What's that about? What is it about us?
You mean specifically about bull running in Pamplona?
Well, about our interest in somebody getting hurt.
Well, you know, we looked into that for our book, and we came up with a study in 1951 that was written by some psychologists who attended the Dartmouth-Princeton football game. And the during the game, one of the quarterback took a vicious hit, and they noticed that half the stadium was cheering wildly to see this quarterback pummeled. And that kind of intrigued them. Why are people cheering so loudly when somebody just got run over by a linebacker?
What did they conclude?
They looked into it, and they found out that deep within the human psyche, there is a piece of the brain that enjoys seeing violence and mayhem. But there is also an element that enjoys seeing vigorous competition. And so when people attend sporting events or they watch them on TV, these competing thoughts are constantly going through their brains, colliding with each other, if you will. So if you go to a NASCAR race and you see a horrific crash, it's hard to look away. But you also want to see a down-to-the-wire finish.
Yeah, and that's just why people slow down on the freeway when there's an accident and all of that. They've just
exactly.
They've got to see it. But you know what? There's no way something like bullfighting would catch on here. Sure, we can have the violent sports that potentially can hurt humans, but there's a big movement to stop using animals in sport or performance. Look what's happening at SeaWorld in San Diego, the huge move and the documentary Blackfish that was running on television.
Yeah.
It's very compelling for people to stop making killer whales perform. But humans on a football field, that's fine.
Well, if you want to talk specifically about bulls and bullfighting, you know, James Michener, who was a big aficionado of the bullfights, once said that he made no excuses for it. He enjoyed it and deal with it. Now, we're talking about an activity, a sport, an art, however you want to describe it, that's legal in 8 or 9 countries. And it's immensely popular in those countries. And the top matadors, their big box office there.
But you know, their particular skill ultimately leads to them having to stab the bull to death. Isn't that how you finish the process?
Well, that's true. That's how the bullfight ends, and there's no question about it.
That's not going to fly here.
No, it's not. It's illegal in all 50 states. And American aficionados of bullfighting, we're not asking for it to be legal in the U.S. We accept that. It's illegal in the United States. We wouldn't expect it to be legal.
Hmm.
Now, you can go to see what are called bloodless bullfights. There are some ranches in Texas and California where they stage these. And the bull comes out and is caped by sometimes a full matador, sometimes a student matador.
They actually have a ring like that in a Portuguese community in Southern California, city of Artesia. They have those on the weekends.
They go through the whole thing, but the one thing they don't do is kill the bull.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about where we can find your book. Again, it's called Olay, Capturing the Passion of Bullfighting and Aficionados in the 21st Century, compelling and controversial stuff. Where can people get it?
You can get it on Amazon, or you can go right to our webpage, bullfightbook.com, and order it through there.
All right, very good. Thank you for spending some time with us. That is journalist, author Hal Markovitz here on As We See It. You know what? I'm not sure you're going to ever see bullfighting. It's probably on the way out, doesn't it? Jen, what do you think?
I hope it's on the way out. I hate the idea. You know, I mean, people on a football field, that's one thing because they're making a choice. But the poor little bull isn't deciding, hey, I think I'm going to go, you know, run around with some guy who's teasing me and then get gored by a sword. You
right.
know,
yeah.
It just doesn't seem right.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, I can remember watching it as a kid, but I don't think I was able to put together what was actually going on. It was more like
right.
a cartoon to me. You don't realize what's happening when you're younger, but you grow up and you figure out. But interesting stuff, just the same. And you know what? I think we can tap into various types of human behavior, and let's transition to parenting skills. Because I think, you know,
that's what you get on this program, Jen. You get bullfights and parenting skills.
But I think there's
from
a similarity.
Because right to parenting.
When I hear certain types of parenting skills, I want to lapse into contact sport immediately when I hear how some people are parenting their kids. So Jay, you have a great example of something that is, I'm not going to be able to stay in my seat when you tell us about it.
So this blogger from New York, she's a mother of two, she's a social worker, and she just thinks she knows how you should raise your child. She wrote this blog about how kids don't, when your kids are out playing with their toys and they set them up a certain way, don't make them clean up, Phil. Don't make them clean up because that is their work. How would you feel if you're writing an essay, you're writing a business proposal, you're sitting at home, you're working on your laptop, somebody just walks by and closes the laptop and says, okay, your work is done for the day? That's the equivalent. That's what she's trying to make the comparison to.
I've been to one of these homes where I think they parent that way, where you walk in and you've got to walk carefully, otherwise you're going to stab your foot on some toy.
Right, and she even goes in that. She's like, so you may have to step over a few toys from time to time, but if you are rewarding and you tell your child that he did a good job or he or she did a good job and we'll pick this up later, why make them clean up, Phil?
But
why would you do that, Jen? Would you make a child clean up?
Well, okay, it depends on the thing. If he's building some huge Lego sculpture that you can't take apart at the end of every day, or like a puzzle, you know, when you have your puzzle spread out on the dining room table, you don't want to put that away every day. But come on, a toy is scattered everywhere.
Evidently.
That's just good practice.
Yeah, well, at what point do you become the parent and actually teach your child how to clean up after themselves, how to organize their stuff so that they can find it the next time, and keep all of the parts together so that when they go to play with that toy, which if it does come in several pieces, they won't be missing pieces because they left it all over the living room.
That's what always happened to me. I would always lose the one Lego I needed to complete the mansion. So anyways, the blogger from New York, I personally, I feel that kids need to clean up every single day. Because that's the way we do it in society.
Yeah, I think.
Right? I know, you can't leave a dirty desk at work either.
You know what, I think it's the chances are good that everybody who heard you say that, Jay, is on your team. Except the ones who aren't.
Because except for the mom kids, blogger because, from New York.
Because there are a lot of parents who parent this way. And I don't know, I don't want to call it lazy. But I do think it's the path of least resistance.
Well, that's true, because your kid's going to kick and scream because they want to continue to play. But at the same time, it's like, hey, we got people coming over. We got Phil Hewlett and friends coming over later on. Let's pick up the toys so we have a nice presentable home. They don't want to be stepping over Barbies and Hot Wheels.
I must say I'm impressed with your ability to come up with the right answer when it comes to parenting skills.
Well, that's because my father had an iron fist, my friend. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
All right. Feedback at philhewlettandfriends.com. Love to hear what you think on this one. And also, next, are you ready to make it absolutely impossible for robocallers to dial your phone number? No, really. Next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, you'll meet an inventor who is doing this for thousands of people right now, and you'll hear him here on KFWB, News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. We love inventions here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we have an inventor who we like to talk to. I want to introduce you to him now, because if there is a single bane in all of our lives, a bane that we share, it is robocalls. Doesn't it seem that the robocallers are calling more often, and it's not just your home phone, it's your cell phone? And you are on the National Do Not Dial Registry. What would you say if I told you you could make the calling stop today, forever? Would you be interested? Of course you would. So let's bring on our guest. It's Aaron Foss. Hey, Aaron, nice to talk with you. You inventor guy, you.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good, always great to talk to you. get us up to speed, because you made headlines with Nomo Robo a while ago, and when it was new, it took off like crazy. Refresh our memory. How does Nomo Robo work?
Sure. It's really, really easy. It's a free service. You go to nomorobo.com, you follow a couple of steps, and Nomo Robo calls for you.
All right. Well, that's the basic description, but what actually happens technically?
Sure. So what actually winds up happening on the back over here is the Nomo Robo server watches your phone line. And when it detects a robocall, it actually answers it for you and then hangs it up. So the only thing that you hear at your house is just a single ring. So, you know, if you're ever having dinner and you're sitting there and the, you know, ring, 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 ring. And then you get up and you go and answer it and you start yelling because it's Rachel from Cardholder Services. And, you know, all of that is done. Now it's been replaced by one ring.
Okay. And then what's in it for you? What do you get from us in exchange for this free service? Because I know what you mean. On the internet, free has a different connotation. We have to give something
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. And it's funny because a lot of people say, right, it's free. Are you going to advertise to me? It said, no, I'm not going to, you know, stop advertisements in one place to go and fill your email box with spam. Actually, there's a lot of companies that also need robocall protection for their phone lines. So actually, we make money by selling robocall blocking to businesses, and the consumers are allowed to have it for free.
Okay, so the businesses are subsidizing the free service for you and me. I love that. So how many people, just average folks, have you signed up?
Yeah, it's been off the charts since the last time that we spoke. Over 90,000 users are on the site. It's blocking over 35,000 robocalls per day. It's unbelievable. We hit over 2 million robocalls blocked since we launched in October, just a couple of weeks ago. And it's been nothing but great, great feedback from everybody.
Yeah, even the National Do Not Dial Registry, do they like you too?
Oh, yeah. You know what? The FTC actually picked Nomo Robo as the winner of the robocall challenge. This was their government contest to see, you know, who could solve this problem. So they're really, really excited about this. And it's just been great for the consumer. You know, no more robocalls.
All right. So it's spelled NOMOROBO.com, NOMOROBO.com.
You got it.
All right, Aaron, you're always inventing things. And Nomo Robo was just what'd you do? Just in your dorm room at Berkeley or something? You came up with this idea?
No, I'm a little bit older. I haven't been in college in a couple of years. No, I'll be honest. So the FTC ran this competition, and the prize was $50,000, and that got me going. I figured, hey, I'll win some money. Yes, some other of my inventions that we've spoken about. Some of them are more fun than others, but this one really, really seems to have struck a chord with people.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's tap into your inventor's mind. I know you're always thinking of other things that are useful for people. So, what are you coming up with these days that either you think you might act on, or they're just maybe a couple of sentences on your whiteboard?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. The my brain has been so focused on robocalls that I haven't had a real time to really dig into it. But, you know, it's funny. It happened the other day. My girlfriend did the whole, you know, do these jeans make me look fat? And, you know, what are you supposed to say to that?
Do not answer
not
that
at
question.
All. You look phenomenal.
Right? Exactly.
That's right, Jay.
Yeah, I thought, you know what, how about I just be replaced like with a mirror, just a little button that always just says, you look great in those jeans. Right? did you lose weight? That's all it has to – it's just my – you know, I would be able to record it, and she'd be able to push the button, and everything would be very, very good.
This is the Snow White mirror? You're going to invent it.
Exactly. And I guess, I don't know, my brain was going in that same way as like instead of the scale actually telling the number – it would just say, you know, you're perfect, or don't listen to me.
Oh,
you're
come
great.
On.
Jay, did we see that on TV in a commercial?
We did. And the first thing I thought of was like, you know, sometimes the truth hurts, but sometimes you need to hear it.
Yeah. Oh,
just
man.
Saying. Me too.
I'll tell you this. You don't need to hear it from me, right?
Right.
That's the good attitude.
Okay. Yeah. Aaron Foss, one more good invention.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I was out. I was out having some drinks with a friend of mine, and we were out at this Mexican restaurant. And for whatever reason, my brain kind of like triggered. You know those beer hats where you put the two cans in it, It's like a little hard hat.
Yeah.
Sure. I thought, you know, yeah, exactly. I thought, well, what if instead it was a sombrero, right? And you put like two Coronas on either side and you had like a little straw that came in, you know, take pictures, walk around the whole place. Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. I'm glad. It's a good thing that my brain is on with Robo.
You know, it's a good thing. Yes, stuff. It's a good thing you have no more Robo because, you know, they'd lock you up otherwise. Aaron
yeah,
Foss. Well, thanks a lot for updating us, and we will link to you at our website and on our Facebook page as well, nomorobo.com. It seems simple enough, and it's free. It sounds like it's really, truly free, which you don't very often get on the Internet. Thank you very much, Aaron.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, guys.
All right. Very good.
Now I want a Corona or a sombrero, and
yeah,
I can't decide.
I know. I'm thinking about that, too.
I had a pitch. I wanted to pitch him an invention idea.
What was your idea, Chris?
Think about this. How about a baby stroller that's also a scooter, okay? So the wheels are set back on the baby stroller a little bit.
Yeah.
You go through the grocery store. You know when you go through the grocery store, sometimes you can get on the grocery cart and you can wheel yourself?
You're not supposed to do that.
Imagine if you're not supposed to.
I get yelled at that every time I do it in the parking lot.
But imagine a baby stroller like that. How much fun would it be taking your baby out on a walk?
No, and the moment you have an accident somewhere, they're going to take your baby away.
Well, that's true.
All right. And
nice,
you know what?
Try.
Burn holes in my invention.
And quickly, Jay, if you have a story here about the police taking the prom away from a young lady.
Well, speaking of people who are thinking a little bit outside the box, Yuba City, California, it's up north. Teenager didn't have enough money to buy a prom dress. So she had a bright idea. She thought she would sell pot-laced brownies.
All right.
To make enough money so she could buy a dress.
That's a lot of brownies.
Yes, it is. But I'm guessing in Yuba City, they may go fast. Here's kind of like the kicker. Evidently, she came to the United States. The teenager came to the United States with temporary permission in 2000. Now, she could face deportation charges.
Because of the pot-laced brownies.
Because all she wanted to do is go to the prom, Phil.
And now she's not going to the prom. Don't laugh at her. She was... Okay, go ahead. It's fine. Hey, we love your comments. We do. Truly, we do. Send us an email at feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. Twitter at As We See It Show. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. On the next program, tomorrow at 2... last-minute tax tips and procrastination may actually be good for you. That and a whole lot more next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.